It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Oh yeah, welcome, welcome, welcome everybody. You know, they say to listen to Sun Tzu in The Art of War and know thy enemy. So with that being said, knowing thy enemy, I'm about to read an article that was put up on July 26th about the Violence Policy Center, something that they put up. Now, Violence Policy Center, or VPC, say that they are dedicated to reducing gun violence, when in fact, they're into disarming America. And this will prove that point. They've gone away from their cloaked mission statement of preventing gun violence, instead going right after gun themselves. Because the House of Representatives is expected to vote on a bill to protect guns from claims of creditors in bankruptcy cases. But VPC says the bill would only increase risk to families and children in economic strife. Now, let's hear this lame brain version of how things are going in the VPC. The U.S. House of Representatives is expected to vote on a bill that would protect guns from the claims of creditors in bankruptcy proceedings. It's House Resolution H.R. 5827. The National Gun Violence Prevention Organization's Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence and Screw Everybody Out of Money, out of your guns, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence and Totally Disarm America, GunFreeKids.org and Make It Easy for People to Murder Your Children in Schools, Legal Community Against Violence and also Taking Away All of Your Gun Rights Because We Don't Believe in Them, Protect Easy Guns, because we want to make it so hard for people to get guns they become victims, and Violence Policy Center to totally take away any guns that any legal person should ever be able to have. They are all opposed to the legislation. Now, I believe all those tags are accurate. I'm going on memory. According to these groups, facts show that the last thing a family struggling with bankruptcy needs is access to a gun. Facts, but they don't cite any facts. Now they go on to say, specifically, the presence of guns in households experiencing bankruptcy only enhances the risk of suicide or murder-suicide. Okay, where are the facts? Where are the statistics? According to the National Violent Death Reporting System, NVDRS, the only federal data that details such information, more than 12% of firearms-related murder-suicides and suicides were precipitated by financial problems. Okay, so you're putting because someone has financial problems and they're going to have bankruptcy that this is going to increase? Firearms are by far the weapons most commonly used in murder-suicides. Studies confirm that firearms are used in approximately 90% of murder-suicides. What studies? The group warns that H.R. 5827 would protect guns up to an aggregate value of $1,500, is only the last wrong-headed idea from the gun lobby that will protect guns at the expense of families. So you'd rather disarm somebody after they've lost everything else? Now disarm them? Wow. Thanks, VPC, for being total boneheaded anti-gunners. Yeah, it has nothing to do with violence for you guys, violence prevention. It has to do with keeping people from owning guns. You suck, you're out of here. Guys, stay tuned. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back. Hi, guys. Welcome back. There is a story out of Raymore, Missouri. Evidently, there's a gun issue that's going to be up on the November 2nd ballot. Let me tell you a little bit about this. Raymore's politicians have argued since last winter about whether city council members should be allowed to carry concealed weapons at meetings. Now, I am a little bit torn on this. Everybody who's a citizen has a right to keep and bear arms, right? But here's the deal. If they're allowed to carry concealed weapons at meetings, everybody else should be too. That which is legal for the government but illegal for the citizenry is tyranny, even at the city level here in Raymore, Missouri. So, on the November 2nd ballot, the people get to say their piece. Now, at this last Monday city council meeting, a petition with more than 1,600 signatures was presented to take the issue out of the council's hands and put it to a vote of the people. If the proposed charter amendment passes, it would undo an ordinance that the city council passed this last spring, allowing members to come armed to meetings. Now, state law demands that the council approve putting the question on the ballot because the petition met its legal requirements, so the city council did unanimously. Here's a quote. This is by petition organizer Monique Lewis. She said at the meeting, she says, quote, City Hall is a forum where debate and exchange of ideas should occur in a cordial and safe setting. How many residents will avoid coming to this podium because they don't feel safe here? Now, this is an anti-gun person talking. You should feel safe when people are armed. Because when people are unarmed and someone comes to cause you harm, who's going to stop them? Only somebody who's armed. Now, the petition drew nearly 400 more signatures than required. The issue, Lewis said, should be decided by the people, not the council. Now, I've got to agree on that. If the city council itself is directly involved in something, they shouldn't be making the decision. The people should be making the decision for them. Now, the petition is the result of a broad-based coalition of both non-gun owners and permit-carrying gun owners coming together to give the people the right to exercise their vote in November. But that doesn't mean that the politicians will stay out of the debate. Councilman Jeff Adams has called the petition challenge an abortion. Thank you very much for using such crude language. He says that it restricts the Second Amendment rights and that organized misled signers. Well, I would completely agree with that. He and Councilman Butch Decker, a former gun store operator, attacked the petition because it did not specify that the prohibition of concealed weapons did not apply to police officers. This would disarm the police, he said. You know what? Cops having guns or not having guns when they're off duty makes no difference. It shouldn't be a difference. You're a cop, but if you're not clocked in, it should make no difference. You should be going by every other law that everybody else has. That's my position on it. If the cops are allowed to carry concealed guns off duty because they're carrying a badge, then great. Everybody should be allowed to carry a concealed gun without having to go through any sort of a permit of sorts, but everybody should be allowed to carry concealed, at least on a shall issue basis, very minimum. Now, Raymore Police Chief Chris Turnbow, who was called to the podium, didn't see it that way. He pointed out that uniformed officers wear firearms in a belt holster, not concealed. The proposal should not interfere with police duty, Turnbow told the meeting. You're right, with police duty. I'm talking about off-duty cops. Now, Lewis said excluding police officers was not a mistake. They wear their guns on the outside. That's what police do, she said. Becker also made the point that the election would cost the city about $25,000. Not good. Lewis is a former city council member who lost her seat in April. It's widely thought that her position on gun contribution on guns contributed to her defeat. Now, Councilman Jeff Fox sponsored the original ordinance this last January. His motivation was what had been called the City Hall Massacre in Kirkwood, Missouri, on February 7, 2008, where a gunman barged into a city council meeting and fatally shot six people, including the mayor and two city council members, as well as two cops. Cox's proposal, in addition to allowing council members to come armed to the meetings, would let citizens carry guns into City Hall at all times except during council meetings. Now, state law prohibits that act, but part of Cox's plan is to seek permission from the Missouri General Assembly to allow an individual city code to decide the issue on its own. Now, my position? You can't tell people that they're allowed to carry a gun, but not carry it when they're addressing the city government. Okay, that violates the Second Amendment. If you're allowed to carry a gun, you're allowed to carry it at all times. Everybody should be allowed to pack at all times. Now, I'll tell you this. If this petition passes, and what we're going to end up with is that only a cop or two inside the city council meeting is going to be allowed to be packing, then there's a real problem. Because if somebody does intend to come in and do some form of harm in the city council meeting, who's the first person that you would shoot? It's like that if you go to rob a bank and there's armed security in the bank. Who's the first person you're going to go after? The armed security guard. You know he's packing. And people are looking to him to do something. Take him out first. That is physically taking out the guy that's probably going to do something. And psychologically demeaning anybody else that might consider doing something because they saw that the guy who was supposed to do something got taken out first. Now, we're talking about shock and awe. Somebody busts into a city council meeting, takes out a cop or two that's standing there, and boom, everybody else is disarmed and they control the place. They do whatever they want. Any sort of murder or mayhem that they want, everybody should be packing. Because by the time this guy gets the first shot or two off, everybody else is going to be turning him into ballistic Swiss cheese. A total bullet magnet. A total bullet sponge. Everybody should be packing. My two cents. Now, let's see. The package, when it comes to this this council piece, would allow any person age 21 and over to transport a firearm in his or her vehicle as long as it is legally possessed, even if that person does not have a concealed and or a carry permit. Well, duh, it's in the car. Why would you need a concealed carry permit to carry a gun in a car? Ignorance. The ignorance of the people making these statements and coming up with these things. When Cox, an attorney, finally proposed the package, it passed 6-2. At a later meeting, it slipped to 5-3, and Mayor Juan Alonso vetoed the measure, and the council could not override it. The mayor's action fired up the pro-gun crowd. Two of the no votes, included Lewis, were defeated in the April election. Alonso survived, but the new council overrode a second veto. So now, because of the position, the petition, it is going to the vote. And I hope it does. I really hope it goes to the vote. And I hope it's something that passes. And then they can just point the finger at all the anti-gunners and say, look, you guys have just cost us, the rest of the taxpayers, and the city some $25,000. And it passed anyhow. Now, that's something that you could point at the petitioners, the anti-gun petitioners. But I do have to say that if the city council itself is involved in this decision, and they're saying during the council meetings, we can pack, but you cannot, I don't believe that that should be, in my opinion, that should not be part of their ability to do that. It's just like Congress. When Congress passes a law, and then they exempt members of Congress from abiding by the law. Now, that's one of the biggest contentions in all of America, is when Congress writes a law and passes it, and exempts themselves from having to follow it. Now, the Supreme Court ruled, better part of 100 years ago in a ruling, that that is unconstitutional and hence illegal for Congress to do that. Has Congress heeded any warning to that at all? Absolutely not. Members of Congress, both the House and the Senate, do not pay into Social Security. They get a wonderful retirement package. They get their own free medical care, far more and above what anybody could ever expect out of this recently passed Obamacare, which is total garbage. They're not going to have to abide by the same. They have their own medical plan, guys. That's just the way it is. They have their own medical plan. If you get elected to Congress, either the House or the Senate, and you serve even a single term, let's say you get elected from North Dakota into the House of Representatives, you serve a single 2-year term, you accomplish virtually nothing, you don't even run for re-election. Whatever you made that year, which is, I don't know, somewhere like $115,000 or something now, you get that money every year until you die. That money is forever. Forever. one of those things that just cheeses the majority of us off. So, to allow a city council to exercise the same sort of provisions that, hey, you know what? We're going to pass something that we can do, but you guys, the constituents, the ones with the real power, can't do? That's tyranny. I don't like that at all. Stay tuned, folks. There's more to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, and you're listening right here to 2A Radio.
If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
All right, guys, welcome back. I want to talk about something that seems to be very popular with certain police departments or sheriff's offices. And this one is coming out of L.A. County Sheriff's. They're going to destroy 8,300 weapons that have been seized. They say seized from criminals. But all too often, what we have here is there's going to be thousands of these guns that have been taken for safekeeping that the owner otherwise was not able to get back. Those are not criminals. Those are 8,300 weapons taken away from citizens. Well, I shouldn't say all 8,300, but there's going to be thousands of these guns taken away from law-abiding citizens under the safekeeping practice. And then when you go to court to try to get it back, the judge says, you know what, I'm not going to let you have it back. So it's theft by the government, outright, out-and-out theft by the government. And now they're going to destroy these things. L.A. County Sheriff Lee Baca, the best sheriff money can buy. And you can see that when you see celebrities that get locked up in an L.A. County sheriff jail. Some sort of big campaign contribution comes to him, and he finds a way to get the person out because he's the sheriff and he's in charge of the jails. Happened, you might remember, a couple of years back with Paris Hilton. She did, a night in jail and then got sent home? Then there was a huge uproar, and the judge barred the sheriff from doing that again and put it back. You think the Hilton family gave a big donation to the sheriff for that? Yeah. Anyhow, scumbag, as I call Lee Baca. Scumbag. Now, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department's going to destroy these 8,300 confiscated weapons at a steel mill in Rancho Cucamonga. Now, the annual effort is known as Project Isaiah. The stash of weapons taken from, it says criminals in this article, but what it is it's from people, will be dumped in from a series of tractor trailers into the smelter at the Tomco Steel Mill, according to Deputy Brauberger, who described the event as a celebration for the sheriff's department. I'm sure it is. Because the sheriff and all the deputies who work for us, we the people, are now in control because they're taking our guns and melting them down. This is something that they did in Nazi Germany. This is something they did during all of the gun confiscations in Australia. This is something they did in all of the gun confiscations in England. We're talking Europeanized nations, similar to the United States, where these things have happened in recent decades, and some of these just within the past decade. Brauberger says, it's pretty exciting and very visual. Now, the Tomco Steel Mill has hosted this event, as they call it, for the last 17 years. Tomco says it donates its furnace, equipment, and personnel to convert the weapons into rebar and will allocate the steel from the melted weapons to be used for upgrades to freeways and bridges in California, Nevada, and Arizona. Anybody out there that ever purchases any sort of high quantities of steel directly from a steel mill, please, if you do business with Tamco, T-A-M-C-O, of Rancho Cucamonga, California, cancel your account and move on to their competition, because they are obviously huge anti-gunners. 8,300 guns. Let's say that half actually came off of criminals. Half. So now we're talking about 4,150 guns. The other 4,150 guns are coming from these safekeeping efforts. Oh, hey, you know, I'm calling the cops out to the house because my daughter had a threat from an ex-boyfriend or something like that. Some kid at school. Who knows what? So the cops come. Do you have any guns in the house? Well, yeah, actually, I have a Remington 870 shotgun. Okay. We're going to take these guns for safekeeping. Really? Safekeeping of what? You're now no longer allowing me, the father, to protect my daughter from what is a known threat. We're the victims here, and you're taking my guns? Then you end up getting a restraining order against this person who is making the threats against your daughter. This is all hypothetical situation. So then they take your guns. You get a restraining order. Then you go to court and you say, hey, we've got a restraining order against this person. Here's a police report. But they did take my guns for safekeeping. I'd like to have them back. Well, the judge very likely will say something along the lines of, well, you know, they took the guns for good reason. And because you have this restraining order, a lot of people see that as even more reason to violate this other person, your daughter in this case's rights or even their safety. So I don't want you to have guns because I don't want there to be some sort of a tragedy. So we're going to hold on to them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to order that you surrendered those guns and you don't get them back anymore. This sounds like something that wouldn't ever happen in the United States. It certainly wouldn't happen under the watchful eyes of the founding fathers. But it happens now, it happens today, and the scumbags on the bench that do it need to be removed from the bench and sent on a retirement and take them off of the bench. It gets some people who will actually understand the Constitution in the light in which it was written at the time it was written by the men who wrote it with the intent in which its purpose was to serve. And then take all of these black-robed jackals that would otherwise take away someone's ability and their God-given right to self-protection, and you just wash it away. Get rid of these people. If you elect judges in your area and you find that they do this sort of thing, vote them out. Find a candidate who will protect your rights, will protect all of your rights. Just not selectively choose here and there. For the LA County Sheriff's Department to take their unconstitutional power to take away guns from people and then take them and throw them into a smelter to turn into road rebar, that just drives me nuts. All right, guys, there's more to come after the break. I want you to stay tuned, gather some other folks around to stick with me. We'll be right back after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
Listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Somebody get a silencer for this guy. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
And welcome back. Yet again, we're on talking about a topic that is just near and dear to my heart, so you guys get to listen to it. And that is about this whole immigration reform process, which hasn't been getting reformed at the federal level. And the state of Arizona has taken matters into their own hands in an effort to try to curb all of the problems and all of the violence and death and economic issues dealing with illegal immigration from their southern border with Mexico, with all the Mexicans coming north into Arizona. And it's not just Mexicans. It's people that will come, immigrants from other countries, that will sneak into Mexico and then sneak into Arizona. But the vast majority of them are Mexican nationals. The federal government's done absolutely nothing to do anything about this. Nothing at all. And I've got to tell you, I spend enough time. I'm in Arizona a few times a year, several times a year, actually. There's good shooting there. There's lots of good stuff. With some of the good laws that they've passed in Arizona, it's really kind of calling my name. I might even relocate there sometime. And I've just got to say, when I go to southern Arizona, when I'm down there and I'm in the Nogales area, sometimes I'll park my car in Nogales, I'll walk across, buy myself a couple bottles of my favorite tequila, and walk right back. I am a tequila connoisseur. I love good tequila. And it's like anything else. There's good cigars and bad cigars, and there's stuff right in the middle. And the middle and the crappy stuff fill up the majority of it, and there's very little good stuff. Same thing with beer. There's a lot of just macro brews, the Budweisers, the Millers. By the way, if I remember correctly, Miller at least used to support gun control. They may still. I don't know. I'll look into that. You know, the Millers, the Buds, the Coors, whatever, macro brews. Then there's the middle-of-the-road stuff, and then there's really kind of the much nicer beers on the other end. Same thing with tequila. And I have to tell you, we're going to take just a moment. We're going to talk a little bit about tequila before we get into this immigration issue. There are four primary types of tequila. So those of you who are interested in learning a little bit about tequila, light a candle, turn down the lights, sneak on up to the radio and listen in. Yeah, you probably have to pull the blinds because we're on during the daytime. Now, listen up. There are the clear tequilas, which are known as a silver or a blanco. Those are essentially unaged. You get the blue agave, you filter everything through. If it sits anywhere, it sits in a stainless steel cask just long enough before it gets bottled. No aging really at all. Those are designed to be blended, like in a margarita with ice, and you crush up all the ice. That's what the silver or blanco tequilas are intended for. Then you move up to the reposado. Those have some color. Now, the reposados are aged in oak casks, generally, for up to 6 months. And those are generally used for a blended drink, like, say, a tequila sunrise. Then you get into the añejos. The añejos are kept in oak casks for longer than 6 months, generally 6 months up to a year. And that's when you really get some aging, and that's when you really get some of the fine scents from the cask. Generally, the casks that are used for tequila they've all been used before. None of them are ever, I don't know that you'll find anywhere in the tequila region of Mexico where they actually use a new cask for tequila. They'll generally use some casks that have been used once for many other things, be it a Tennessee whiskey or a Kentucky bourbon, or some of the finer ones maybe were used for a French cognac, or maybe a single malt scotch up in Scotland, or a single malt Irish whiskey, something like that. Generally, those darker, better sort of casks are the ones that they're going to use for the añejos. And the best casks go to what are called the premium añejos. We'll get to it in a second. The añejos are designed to be drank just the way they are. Maybe with a little bit of ice, but you don't want to bruise it with more than 2 cubes. And sip it. Sip it. Sip the añejo. That's what it's meant for. The premium añejos are like a fine wine of tequila, or a fine cognac, or a fine brandy. They are designed to be enjoyed just the way they are. Anybody that does the lime salt shoot thing, those are called training wheels. And guys, folks, young men and women that might be listening, you're embarrassing yourself with that stuff. If the tequila is so lousy, you've got to use lime and salt to mask it, you shouldn't be drinking it because it's garbage. You might find what's called gold tequila, which is the worst garbage of the bunch. If it says 100% agave, all it needs to be is 51% tequila from agave. The other 49%, by the definition of tequila and the standards held in Mexico, which are very good high-end standards, 49% can be other stuff. The gold is generally, it's the silver or blanco, and it's usually the lower end of that stuff, which just, it doesn't make the cut. So what they do is they water it down, they add caramel, they add sugars, they add all other kinds of stuff. So anything that is called a gold tequila is the worst tequila out there. You'll get the worst hangovers, the worst headaches, it will dehydrate you the most. It is horrible. Do not ever drink any tequila on the bottle labeled as gold, unless you're just making some sort of like a jungle juice party punch, and you know, you ain't got much money in your pocket, and you want to get some sort of summertime jungle juice going, and you got a bunch of, you know, unrefined palates to serve. Go with the gold. Other than that, stay away from it. It is garbage. Now you have your tequila education, and I'm happy to have put it out there. Being a tequila connoisseur, I love my tequilas. I probably have at least 15 different tequilas at home. There are a couple that I cannot get in the States, but I can go into Mexico, grab a bottle or two, depending on where I am, and then come back with them, and that's what I do. So, to get back on track here, since I have digressed and hopefully educated a few people in the art of tequila, when you go down to southern Arizona, you end up seeing this shanty excuse of a wall that is of all different types of formats. In some cases, it's not much more than a little bit of chain link, maybe some barbed wire across some private party and some ranches, private property and some ranches. And the wall that is there, on the Mexican side, everything is built up towards the top of the wall. It's a huge drop on the other side to the American wall. So you can scale it from the Mexican side and then drop into the States. But to try to scale it from the American side, you need tools and equipment because it's probably a good 20, 25 feet high. But it's essentially a retaining wall on the other side in Mexico. So you can just go out your backyard or over to the wall and doop, drop down in there. And here's the thing. The Border Patrol is not patrolling at the border with any numbers whatsoever. I mean, of course, there are some Border Patrol agents there. But I see so many Border Patrol agents and so many border, I guess, groups, these where they put together a group of Border Patrol agents. They go out looking for illegals that have snuck into the country. They are dozens and dozens of miles north of the border. And here's my analogy. I've used it before. I'm going to use it again now. Remember the story about the boy walking by the dike, and the dike had a hole in it, so he put his finger to stop the leak in the dike so that it wouldn't erode away and the dike would break and wash out the town? Remember that story? We're going to use that same analogy. If you're trying to catch illegals invading your country 40 and 50 miles north of the invasion point, that would be the same as the little boy who saw the leak in the dike going downstream, trying to collect up the water in a bucket, and then running it back to the border, back up to the levee, to the dike, and dropping the water back in, then running back downstream to catch more. It does nothing to solve the erosion problem in the dike, and there's no way you're going to get all of the water. It is completely inefficient. And not even the dumbest moron would try to do that. I don't think the stupidest person that you could find would probably try to solve it that way. I mean, they'd have to be an extra special kind of stupid. So what we're dealing with is the federal government, in this case, Homeland Security, which when dealing with Border Patrol and illegals coming across the border, in this case specifically in Arizona, we have an extra special kind of stupid. Now, and it's conscious stupid. It's not ignorant. It's not, hey, we don't know any better. When we learn, we'll do it better. It's an extra special, conscious kind of stupid. So, rather than having the vast majority of Border Patrol agents physically at the border and within a few hundred yards of it to catch anybody and everybody that tries to sneak across, rather than doing that, they try to net them after they're dozens and dozens of miles north. Who knows where they could have gone or what strategy they could have taken. If you drop a drop of water, it's going to hit and spread, which is exactly what's going to happen when people sneak across the border. They're going to drop into the country and they're going to spread. Inevitably north. But they might head far west at a slight northern trajectory, far east at a slight northern trajectory. They're going to end up heading north, but the question is where to find them. The best thing to do is catch them right there. So, an anti-illegal immigration group is calling for a safe passage of illegals out of the U.S. So, here's the story. An anti-illegal immigration group is calling on the Obama regime to ensure a smooth exit for illegal immigrants who are trying to leave the U.S. due to the weak economy and Arizona's strict new immigration law. Well, you know, I think if we saw a bunch of illegals running south, we'd probably get out of their way. The Americans for Legal Immigration, which is a PAC, is urging U.S. citizens to pressure the White House and Homeland Security Department to establish safe departure border checkpoints along the U.S. border for illegal immigrants so they can leave without fear of being detained or prosecuted for immigration crimes. Hey, you know what? If you want to leave, go ahead. Guys, there's a whole lot of Americans that need to leave that are anti-American. Let's start at the White House. Let's start with the a-hole in the Oval Office. Anti-American. Hey, oh yeah, we're not a Christian nation anymore. You can call us a Muslim nation. One of the biggest Muslim nations. Let's go to the call of prayer. It's a beautiful sound. Let me recite it for you in perfect Arabic. Right? Let's not stop these invaders, these foreign invaders from invading our nation. No, let's not do that. Let's pass socialism. Let's go through Marxism and go after all of the guys that were my mentors in years gone past. Yeah. People like that, I'm happy. Freely leave the country. Get your ass out. So, if you're here illegally in the first place, great. And the Oval Office might be a case of that. We're not sure if that guy's here legally or not. Anyhow, leave. We're not going to hold you up. Now, here's a quote from William Gein, president of the group. He says, "The peaceful and gradual exodus of illegals from Arizona show there's no need for comprehensive immigration reform amnesty. Comprehensive immigration enforcement works and has the desired effect without mass deportations." Well, if you can convince them to get the hell out, then go for it, William Gein. Gein, G-H-E-E-N. Gein said that the safe passage would ensure that illegals, quote, leave in an orderly fashion instead of trying risky desert crossings, paying money to the cartels for passage south, or fleeing to other states. Well, that sounds a little bit ridiculous to me, but to each his own. He says, this is about the only situation we would ever advocate that our immigration laws be waived. Okay. He says, we want to encourage illegals to leave America on their own, and thus we ask Obama to provide them safe passage out of America. Well, he certainly provided safe passage into America. You would think it would be natural that they could leave. And how tough is it to leave the states and go into Mexico? There's no border stop. Anytime I go from the U.S. into Mexico, be it in a vehicle or on foot, probably be the same on a bicycle or horseback. I don't know. I walk into Mexico freely. It's when I'm coming back that there's border checks. You want to leave the states? You know what? If you're in California, hop on I-5 and head south. It will end up at the border crossing. Right there. Bam. I was just there a few weeks ago. I know. You go right down there. Once you get past exit number one, there is no turning back. You're in Mexico. Walk, drive, ride the bus, take a donkey down to the border and walk. I don't care. It's easy. In Arizona, head on down to Nogales. Walk right back into Mexico. It's easy. Neither the White House nor Homeland Security respond to emails seeking comment. Well, imagine that. The call comes from the Obama regime. It seeks an injunction in federal court to block Arizona's immigration law. That has made illegal immigration a state crime and required police to check blah da 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 da. Some of that was overruled in a bit of an injunction. Let's see. The estimated 100,000 illegal immigrants have left Arizona in the past 2 years as it has cracked down on illegal immigration and its economy was hard hit by the recession. Most of that is in Maricopa County, Arizona, with Sheriff Joe Arpaio. A Department of Homeland Security report on illegal immigrants estimates Arizona's illegal immigrant population peaked in 2008 at well over 500,000 at 560,000, and a year later dipped to 460,000. Still way too many. Guys, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come after the break. We'll be right back. Yeah.
The American Dream, founded by men of honor, men of a creed once shared by most, and now all but forgotten. Men who risked their lives and perpetrated the most egregious acts of treason in history to create the United States of America. The Founding Fathers recognized that tyranny reigns over unarmed men, and they vowed to never allow that to happen here in the United States of America. Politicians of a lesser ilk have tried to subvert the right to self-protection, to protect your family and property. Until now, announcing America's Victory Shoots, the largest patriotic shooting event in generations, celebrating the Supreme Court's decision in McDonald versus Chicago, restoring the rights of all Americans across the land, from sea to shining sea, right in the backyard of Chicago itself. America's Victory Shoot is for Americans who share the creed of our founding fathers. Join your countrymen in a celebratory weekend of shooting events and training for the protection of you and your family at the patriotic event of a generation. There's limited space, so go to victoryshoot.org to find out more and sign up today. As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on, I will take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you will run if this is not where you belong.
And welcome back. We're talking about this safe passage idea, which has come from a anti-illegal immigration group that would say, hey, if they're headed south, let them go. Well, why not? I mean, wouldn't it be a stupid waste of time and money catching people leaving the country? I mean, hey, the borders are open to leave. They're currently open to come in. But if we actually close them, let them leave. That's great. It's like a safety valve, right? A safety valve is one of those deals where it allows the flow in, let's say, in this case, let's say some sort of liquid, right? Let's say gasoline, right? Let's say that there's gasoline flowing in a pipeline and it has to go, you know, up this hill and down into this valley and everything. You've got gasoline flowing from west to east. It's going up a hill and something happens. It's going through a valve, but something happens to where the pressure is no longer there and the gasoline starts coming backwards. When the gasoline starts coming back the other way, it closes the valve and stops it. Okay, well, what we need, or something like that, a pseudo version of that, legally speaking, in the terms of illegals leaving the country. I mean, that, in my opinion, is a good thing. Now, it's not clear how many have left Arizona since the new law passed in April, and some are leaving the U.S. and others are heading to neighboring states. But a pro-immigrant group called the Safe Passage Proposal, quote, a little suspicious. They say, I think it's clearly part of the attrition strategy. Make things so horrible for immigrants that they will self-deport. Well, I'm glad you were able to think that up, according to, let's see, Sarai, S-A-R-A-H-I, Yerbe, U-R-I-B-E, Yerb, Sarah Yerb, a regional organizer for the National Day Labor Organizing Network. She says, but while it's untrue some people are leaving Arizona, a great deal of people are staying. I'm sorry, while it is true some people are leaving, some are staying. Okay, so you really think it might be suspicious because they're trying to make it so horrible for immigrants they'll self-deport? Duh! That's what the whole thing's all about. I'm glad that you were able to key into that. You must be brilliant. Now, this hack says that the other guy's idea is a thinly disguised strategy to drive people out of the state of Arizona. It's not thinly disguised. It's out in the open. Look, we don't want you here. There's laws on the books to keep you from being here. Rather than rounding everybody up as they're headed out, just let them go. If they want to stay, that's when we'll start rounding them up. I couldn't agree with this idea more. I love it. There needs to be tough immigration laws, and even better, we need to secure the border, and we need to end all of the social programs for the illegals that are here now. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you,
Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com.